I'm from another planet. I'm Superman.
Rock Lord.
And I got no parents either.
I got a rope. I'm Wonder Woman. I got a flashlight on my hand. I'm Green Lantern.
What's DC's equivalent of Captain America?
I guess it's really supposed to be Superman. I mean,
yeah, I guess.
They don't really have a patriotic guy. I mean, they have a really bad version of it.
There's Aqua Sheen.
It's like Steel something. I forget his name. Nobody knows him. Nobody cares.
No one cares.
Yeah, exactly.
Captain Quick. He's really fast.
Toy Federation Podcast, episode 9, take 1, Mark.
I don't want to show that.
About a beard.
So I don't.
See, iPhone, here we go again.
iPhone 15.
Yeah.
Got it. Look, do not disturb. You see it on.
I see it.
It's disturbing.
Doesn't mean it's real. Right?
And the volume's all the way to 0. I have an idea.
Okay. What's...
Well, it's better to be spontaneous. So
we're not sharing with the class today.
So we should start off with what came in the store. Like anything came in cool this week?
Oh, no, wasn't it?
That's how Kevin Smith always does it when at the end of the show. He's like, so what came in the store this week?
What was the big trade?
Where are we going?
Yeah, you've been going for about 5 minutes.
Oh, cool. That might all be good anyway.
It is good.
So... what's something cool that came in today?
Today?
Andy?
I don't know. I just got
Travis.
Here.
Been here all week. Well, how about this? We got some cool wrestling stuff.
There you go.
Shockmaster. That was cool.
Comic-Con.
Went out immediately.
Comic-Con exclusive.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, wrestling is not my strong suit.
Well, it was, was it WCW?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll preface it and I'll let you guys run with it because we bought an amazing, you know, we just don't do toys. We're 99% toys. But we got this killer VHS lot. Killer wrestling VHS lot.
We did.
And then an awesome wrestling magazine lot. From WCW to the WWF magazine, and even some of the 70s magazines.
It was like NWA.
And then on top of that, we had a crazy action figure wrestling lot. And then I will let you maybe talk about, because apart from the Road Warrior guys, I don't know what we bought.
Yeah. Well, I kind of barely put eyes on the lot that came in today, but all I know is it refilled the elite section, which was
depleted.
Hammered.
Yeah, wrestling's been moving like crazy lately.
Wrestling's hot. I mean, WWE's on fire right now. So the VHSs that came in, those were pretty sweet.
Now there was one VHS in there which somebody told me, and then I think you know, is he had was like murdered in the shower or something.
Bruiser Brody.
Yeah. And that was his match.
I guess the guy said it was his last match that was on the, the VHS when he came in.
It was crazy, yeah.
But I mean, that lot of VHSs, there was like, what, 50-something VHS?
Yeah, I just found it amazing as we were pricing. Most of them were 10. There were some fives. But then there were some 20 and 40, $50 VHSs in there, which is crazy that, you know, VHSs are worth more than DVDs or Blu-rays now.
Well, there was the one guy that came in and said a lot of these you had to order to get them.
So
like the home order club or
right.
Yeah. Or you ordered them in the back of the magazines.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Out of the wrestling magazines.
Yeah. And then the one that you were referring to, the Bruiser Brody.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yep.
It's like a shell case.
Yeah, it wasn't even like a licensed. Like some of them say Coliseum Video, and it's WrestleMania 1, 2, or 3. And then this one was just like a plain, it like had no branding almost.
Yeah, it's the no fancy font.
Back the old school independent wrestling shows, NWA and all that, when VHS started hitting, they would sell them at shows.
Well, see,
so that's what I'm,
lot of these didn't have barcodes.
Right.
So it was like, in my mind, it wasn't put at a mass market retailer. So it was catalog or at a show.
Someone selling at a van at the show.
And then there was another. So on top of this, we didn't buy this, but I know a guy locally who deals in vintage t-shirts.
Yep.
And if I had the room and a rack to put these shirts, maybe I might consider it, but it's like, you know, so I just called him. He came by Saturday and he bought them. I don't know what he paid for them, but you were looking at them in full. There were some crazy shirts in there.
Yeah. I mean, so the crazy thing about wrestling shirts, just like anything, I guess, 80s, 90s shirts, like the Marvin the Martian or whatever, the value on them go up drastically.
Yeah.
I mean, there's at least, like, just thumbing through them, my eyes looking at it, I know there was at least a $100 shirt. There was probably a $75 shirt. Another one that was $80 maybe.
But, I mean, I know that market's hot. I know nothing about it. I don't pretend to know.
Yeah. We do not need a clothing habit here.
And so I just passed it along to somebody, did a good deed, and he showed up and he bought them all.
But no, I know what he paid, and it was a fair.
Yeah,
It was definitely a fair price. So, but yeah, I mean, non-stop wrestling, mate.
Yeah, it's been moving. And then what you guys, a couple of you went to.
We went to Monday Night Raw 2 weeks ago here in Greenville. Like I said, I've been to many events, but that's the first one I've probably been to in 8-10 years.
Oh, wow.
I don't know, like, for a while I got burn out on going to the live events just because WWE wasn't as good as it had been or is now. So to me, it's like, sit at home, watch it.
So now it's strong.
Now it's strong. Yeah, it's hot. So like I said, ain't been in years, but I know you don't even know who he is, but Jey Uso, seeing his entrance and like the energy of the crowd is just, it's insane.
Hugging buddies.
The best,
right?
But no, it was a good time. We had fun.
All right, so I had an idea.
Yeah,
maybe it's not these guys quite yet because these guys are nuts.
Yeah,
but I was thinking, there's so many things to talk about, but what about, like, what's a vivid memory? You know, it's kind of like why we all do this, or what got you. It's hard to explain. So,
like, how did Travis become Marvel Man?
Is there, like, you know, like when you sit back and maybe you look at your things, or you remember, there's like these memories in your brain as a child that stick with you. And like, I have some specific ones that it's like I just can't forget them. And I'm curious, like, I can remember getting off the school bus. I mean, there's plenty, but just like getting off the bus, going in the house, and getting my Chef Boyardee, heating it up, getting it in a bowl, and sitting in front of the TV just in time to start a particular cartoon.
Yeah.
And like, didn't miss it. And it's like, you know, what memories do you have like that? You know, like, let's say with you first, Andy.
So are we talking specifically about watching cartoons or just like getting toys in general?
Well,
what were.
Okay. Well, I mean, the toys for me, the cartoons were to sell toys.
Right.
So I would kind of get my toys and then watch this cartoon.
Right.
Even record the cartoon with my cassette player to play it after the fact. So I had background noise. And I don't know. I was just like, if I could find those tapes, I could play them and it would be crazy.
Core memory. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, basically, like, the same thing. Coming home from school, going to my grandparents' house, and it was, like, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Thundercats. Like, all the heavy hitters. Like, even, I remember watching, like, what is it? It's escaping me. The Tiger Sharks.
See, I never, I learned about that after I
Silver grew Hawks. Up.
Like, it was I didn't like even know about Silver Hawks.
It was all in, like, a weird block. Yeah. Right? It was, like, G.I. Joe first. Transformers was later for me, but then it was like Thundercats, Silverhawks, Mask might have been
Tiger Sharks.
And then, like, you know, I don't know, staying home sick.
Oh, right, yeah.
Watch all the good stuff. You get to watch Price is Right.
It's like
you
my watch... tummy hurts.
Yeah.
Well, Price is Right's definitely.
I mean, it's not.
Oh, whenever you stay home sick, everybody watches Price is Right.
It's not the same anymore.
But... No, but like.
Yeah, no, I remember.
Right. Yeah.
I always wanted that little Himalayan climber guy.
Oh, yeah.
And it barely ever came on. That it was like right.
Yeah. Or what's the one
you can watch it 100 times and maybe you get lucky to see
drop the chip. The what is that?
Plinko. I remember that.
Yeah, that was. That seemed impossible. No one ever seemed to win that one.
There's a good documentary on that show where the guy had it all figured out.
Oh yeah, no, I saw that. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Or what's the other one that the guy had figured out? The whammies. The pressure to luck.
Oh, no whammies?
Yeah, so the guy that figured that system out,
right?
And he just, like, destroyed the show.
Oh,
because
wow.
He figured out, like, the algorithm to where the thing was going. There's another documentary on that, too.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's cool.
But, yeah, staying home sick, watching all those shows. I mean, I'd sit there and you'd watch the reruns of, like, I Dream of Jeannie and Bewitched. And
Green Acres.
MASH or whatever came on.
Well, when I was a kid, there was only, like, 4 channels. Or 5, I think. You had PBS, you had ABC, NBC, CBS, and then there was, like, my local channel, which in Miami was Channel 6. I think it was WDZL or something.
Got to get up and change channel.
That's where you'd watch Godzilla or Kung Fu movies. Oh, yeah.
Kung Fu. I remember watching Kung Fu.
Yeah, Kung Fu.
I don't... Cartoons wasn't something that tied in with me and toys as much because it was... I listened to a lot of records, so...
I think that was because your dad was...
He was in stereo sales when, you know, before I was born. So, like, music was really pushed in the house. But I had, like, Spider-Man records, Superman.
I had those.
And, you know, and I would listen to those. But for whatever reason, I always missed the He-Man cartoon, which I wanted to see so bad.
Oh, wow.
But I had the record. So, to me, that version of He-Man, he was kind of a barbarian. That's what I liked, you know. And Skeletor, geez, he was the evilest looking dude ever. But then when I guess got more into looking for something and not just, oh, cool, I got this thing from my parents, it was superheroes because I used to read my uncle's comics. And that's probably one of my earliest memories was reading a Spider-Man comic. And then going and getting a Spider-Man figure, it was like, this is so cool. And then you find out there's a figure of it. I have to have it. And then you find out there's more.
And that's the Mego?
No, that was not me. No. I saw Mego at a yard sale and I begged Mom to get it. She wouldn't. And that stuck with me for 12 years before I got one.
It wasn't the one from kindergarten. Knickerbocker, right?
Oh, no. That was another one. I was supposed to, there was a kid that had a Knickerbocker Spider-Man doll.
I think we set one of this in the first show.
Yeah.
So what was the first Spider-Man?
The first one was the Mattel Secret Wars red and blue suit Spider-Man. And I remember going to Kmart. I remember finding it not in the toys. And, like, just being so excited carrying this thing up. Can I get this? Yeah, you can get that. Oh, my God. And it's going home with you. And I just, you know, I kept that figure
all
my life.
Let me ask, are you allowed to bring toys to school now?
I don't know.
I don't think kids...
So in first grade, second grade,
show and tell, right?
Yeah, no, just in general, you had to keep them. We had like a cubby,
yeah,
and you could take it to recess.
Yeah.
So,
another sky striker over the fence.
No. So Star Wars cards are out tops. Star Wars, and I remember this kid. And he brought. I didn't do it.
Bleeding the Fifth.
I didn't. Oh, I swear I didn't do it.
I encouraged.
But we were friends with him. And I think he had the Yellow Series top Star Wars cards. And they were in his cubby. And then they weren't. Somebody jacked his cards.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I remember that. I don't know. It just came to me. I also remember watching Star Blazers.
I don't remember that one.
And I saw Thundercats a good bit because I guess the time I got home from school.
See, I associate Thundercats more like high school. And then, you know, we weren't toys, but Chitara was nice to look at. So we were watching that. But yeah, I didn't get the figures.
I like Mumra.
He's cool. Yeah.
Panther. Panther was the coolest. Panther was just badass.
Snarf.
No snarf.
Never snarf. He's the annoying guy you have to add to every cartoon.
Every show's got one.
The annoying sprite that they're like, well, it's for the kids. It's like, well, the cartoon's for the kids. You don't need the sprite. He's just annoying. And as a kid, I thought they were annoying too. I didn't like Orko. I didn't like Snarf.
T-Bob.
I didn't like T-Bob. I'm not saying no one should.
And Silverhawks is a really annoying trivia kid that comes on or something. And
Copper Kid?
Well, they had the Bears.
Oh, right? The Brobles, right?
Bear? Yeah, I don't know. Brobles. Yeah, I should know, but...
There's three of them.
My brain's forgetting them.
Yeah. Well, we don't.
That's
we don't
on purpose because they're.
Yeah. One of the cool
animation
things
was great.
About like the little sprite character was, you know, He-Man made Orko and he was a top spinner. I've heard this story multiple times where, you know, it came with the little coin trick.
Right.
Everybody lost it. That's the where the money is.
Right.
But when you spun that top, and most people had like a wooden coffee table, and this thing would leave circle scratch marks all over it. So many kids got in trouble for it. I've heard it at least three or four times. Like, I messed up my mom's coffee table when I was five or six, and it's...
Well, any slime toy ruined the carpeting. Or
I had my slime taken away because of that.
Yeah, so I don't... It's the every parent's nightmare buying your kid some ooze or slime because then it just, and then you got it taken away.
And then every toy line had slime.
Yeah.
For like 2-3 years.
Yeah, but that didn't go down in my house.
Slime is great.
Now, let me ask you this. So a lot of weekends, because of where my school was, I would get dropped off at my grandmother's. And she would take me so let's say I went there on a Saturday or a Friday night. I'd stay there Saturday, Sunday. And the funny thing is she didn't drive, but the school was like, it wasn't even a mile away. Well, maybe it was a little bit more. And then my grandmother would call a cab. And so this cab would come pick me up and take, you know, trying to think, when I was at that school, it was fourth grade. And I would just get in this cab with my backpack and go to this, you know, the school down the road. But when I was at my grandmother's, and she was an amazing Italian cook, so everything was homemade. And when I kind of wasn't supposed to still get toys, when I was with grandma, I could still get toys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But they would stay there, so they didn't go back home.
No. Yeah, I brought all my stuff home.
Just flaunting your crimes in front of your parents?
Yeah, no, that was me and my...
So
that was our secret.
My parents didn't care about the toys. It was the fact that, like... So one of my grandmothers was, like, incredible cook also.
Yeah, yeah.
Would bake...
Everything was homemade.
Cake,
everything.
And, of course, I'd eat it when I was there, and my mom would get mad because I'd go home and I'd be like, I'm not hungry. I don't want to eat dinner because I fill up on junk.
Whenever she made a meal, there was... You know, you have an entree and then maybe you have your sides. There would be two or three entrees.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, if you had pasta, you had, like, three kinds of pasta.
Yeah.
Or you had steak, but then you still... There was pasta with every meal. And the pasta she made. You didn't buy it and boil it.
Yeah.
She
no one's
rolled the dough and made the raviolis with the fork, punching the four corners. So, and all the soups were homemade. The cookies at Christmas, she made all the cookies.
Holidays were awesome.
She'd even ship them. When she moved back to Ohio, she'd mail them frozen.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was nuts.
But then, after filling up on all these delicious treats.
Right.
Grandma, Can I get a G.I. Joe?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you got a Publix. You went to the... Because they... And then there was even this place that I would walk to. And I... It wasn't a 7-Eleven. It wasn't a gas station. It was, I guess, like a 7-Eleven. But it wasn't 7-Eleven. I think it was like You Totem or something. It was some weird name. And I would walk there and get my packs of cards. And even if they didn't have any good cards, they had some cards. Like, I remember there was a set for, like, there was some cheesy movie with Bo Derek, and it was called Here's Bo.
Oh, that's so weak.
I don't even know if you, and I was like,
well, it's cards.
I got to get cards. I walked all the way there, 35 cents or whatever it is, and I'm buying a pack.
At least you got gum out of it.
Yeah, yeah. You look it up. There's a set with Bo Derek. It's called Here's Bo. And I think she's, like, with a Tarzan guy or something in it. I don't know.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we've seen cards on practically everything.
And I liked Cracked magazine. They did cards. I liked Cracked more than I liked Mad.
Outrageous.
I liked it.
Then there was, I liked them both, but I liked Mad more.
If you're cracked, you're crazy. I think that was like the motto. Yeah.
Then I read my uncle's Mad magazines. So that's...
You know. I think it was because Severin did a lot of the art. And maybe he worked for Mad, but I know he worked for... And that was a husband and wife, Severin. I swear it's on mute. That was eBay, though. Something sold. It's good. And he did the monsters so well. And then if it was Western-type things, it's the art. I just loved it. It's like I love Earl Norum. And I love Severin.
Is that didn't his wife do illustration too?
That both of them did.
Severin, yeah.
Yeah.
That was some of the first comics I read too. She illustrated Doctor Strange.
Oh, wow.
And I read, that was my first exposure. That's why I've always liked Doctor Strange. And no one knew who he was for years till we got a movie. But
oh, yeah, nobody cared.
Yeah.
But, 40 years later.
Because like in the 80s, nobody cared about Iron Man.
Yeah, not even in the 90s.
Not even Captain America.
They killed Iron Man in the 90s.
It was all
X. Brought him back as a teenager.
It was all mutants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like Punisher, Spider-Man, and X-Men. Yeah. X-Factor. Like that was...
X-Force. X.
And it was G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
And Star Wars. Even though Star Wars wasn't so hot in the 80s. It still ran, but...
I never really had a lot of comics. I mean... Few and far between G.I. Joe. I had a handful.
So in Miami, there was two shops I would go to. One was A&M Comics, which had been around the longest, to my knowledge. And then there was a place called Sunshine Comics. And it was run by a guy named Joel. And then I think when the comic market was exploding, like a lot of things, he went to three stores. And then when I went away to college and I went down to visit, he was down to one store. And then I was like, what? And then it was Half Gaming. And I was like, what's going on? And he's like, they changed the whole, like you could order the books and if you didn't sell them, you returned them. And so you could have a big wide selection. And then now it was like, you had to own every book you ordered. So then you were
stuck with it.
So then you were more cautious on what you ordered. And so you didn't,
issues.
So you didn't get, yeah, yeah.
A lot.
Now they're good.
And he had this really old dog, and his mom would sit there. And he was an older guy. And then his mom was sitting in a chair, and this dog. It's funny. But when I ran into Mike Zeck at a show, and I bought some prints from him, and I love Mike Zeck, you know, just for that Punisher Limited series. But, I mean, he did so much stuff. But for me,
Secret Wars.
But for me, it was Punisher and G.I. Joe. And he... I didn't realize he was from Florida and South Florida. And when I met him, I brought up where I was from and then we talked. And then he's like, he knew Sunshine and he knew Joel. And he's like, I did his first fanzine, like some for the shop or something. And I was like, how cool is that? But, you know, he knew the shop I went to and I was reading his comics. Yeah.
That's cool.
I always read comics. I didn't always necessarily have a lot. I mean, you know, when you're a kid, you try to take care of them. But, I think the cover came off of my Amazing Spider-Man 300.
Well, in the beginning, you got them from, you know, before you knew about comic shops, you got them at the gas station.
Yeah.
In that spinner rack where they're all
yeah.
bent in half.
Hanging over.
yeah. From yeah. being thumbed yeah. through.
Well, I think I got to go to a comic store maybe around like 9. When I'd go see my dad, there was one in town. And so we went every weekend. And I regret it so bad because I don't remember the name of it because the sign just said comics on it.
Hey,
so
kids, I don't know comics, the name of the right? store.
But yeah, went there every other weekend. And I'd get 2 or 3 books each time. And they almost always were Spider-Man.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got other stuff, but you know.
I remember the first Batman comic I had, and it was at a gas station. And you may know the issue, and we may have even talked about this before, but I always remember, in my mind, it had a Ferris wheel, and the Joker's on it or something.
Is it a Neil Adams book?
I couldn't mm-hmm. tell you. I'd have to figure out what it is. It was 70s.
I mean, that put it in the right yeah. place, but I mean, he wasn't the only one to...
Did I tell you my Neil Adams story?
tell us Neil Adams story.
So Batman, my favorite Batman, is how Neil Adams drew Batman.
Yeah.
That look, to me, from a comic book standpoint, is my favorite.
Well, he took Batman out of the TV show, which was campy, silly.
Yeah.
He... brought him, made him spooky and dark, and that was awesome.
So he was at a show, I think it was in Tennessee, that I was set up at, I think. And I went up to him, and I didn't have a whole lot of extra, you know, trying to get this whole con thing going, supplementing income because the online was off and trying to
just a humble toy man.
Trying to pay the bills, right? And, you know, and it's like, you know, I can't take the money I just made in the booth that needs to go to pay rent or pay utilities and make a stupid purchase.
I have a comic book.
And so I go into the booth and Neil Adams has this crazy setup, you know.
It's
huge. All his works, which is endless.
Yeah.
And I'm like... he's charging $500 a sketch. But, you know, hey, it's what, you know, he can command it. And he had one of his books there, and I'm like, how much if you do a little, like, the term is a remark.
Right.
So you do a little 30-second, 10-second, it's like if you meet Kevin Eastman, he does it right, in Turtle Head.
Yeah.
5 seconds. So I said, I want a little remark. I think I said doodle. And he says, I'm Neil effing Adams. I don't doodle. But he said it. It wasn't being mean. I didn't take offense. He was smiling when he said it, and I'm like, you're right. It's Neil Adams. You don't doodle. And he's like, but you pick that book, pay me $500, this would be the best damn thing you've ever seen. But I didn't have the $500, so I didn't pay him. And now he's passed, so that's... But it was a cool little story that I had with him.
I met him years after you met him, but I... kind of went up and talked to him and we had a really, really good conversation just in general about comics. And it wasn't about what he did or what was going on. It was just talking about comic books. And such a cool guy. And he said, oh, so you got something here for me to sign? I was like, hey, here you go, and sign. And it's like, how much do, you know, how much is the, and he's like, eh. And he was charging for autographs. But we had a cool conversation, right. So like he didn't charge me. Which
somebody also said if his wife's not around, you get better deals.
Right.
Somebody did tell me that.
So did you ever end up with anything signed by him?
I think I have something signed by him because somebody sold me something in the shop that I kept. But I did get the experience, so I did meet him.
Right.
And that was kind of the important part to me. And then Stan Lee's another guy that I never got to meet. I had signed stuff by him. And then he was at Wizard World in Atlanta. It was a horrible show. And they never brought it back there. And now I don't even think they exist anymore. But and they made an announcement because I was stuck working the booth. And they said, the show's closing in an hour. Last call for Stan Lee. So I had somebody watch the booth and I ran over there. And it was $100. And so you had to buy the ticket from the booth and then you take the ticket and then you go to Stan Lee. There was nobody there. But the show was weird. It was dead. And there was a girl massaging his back. And then there was a guy next to him. And then if you read into the whole Stan Lee, the way it went towards the end and how the people who were with him were taking advantage. So I give the ticket. And I didn't want Stan Lee from a cameo from a Marvel movie. I wanted him in his sweater and his slacks.
Yeah.
And they had a shot.
Stan Lee, you know and love.
Right. So I picked that and I pull my phone out and I'm going to video him signing my piece. And the guy's like, no filming.
Yep.
And I'm like, but I want to document him signing this for me. And then the guy's like, well, I'm not going to fight you over it. I was like, okay. So I just filmed it and got my autograph and left. And then I saw them go behind the curtain and there was tables, rows of tables, like multiple tables long, full of all this product.
Yeah, for him to sign.
That he had to go back and sign that he probably didn't see any of the money for.
Yeah, probably not.
Stan, you did $1,000 today. And then it did, you know.
Yeah.
And they were massaging him to keep him fresh.
Ugh. I mean,
But I got to meet him at least.
I met him twice, but the second time I didn't get anything signed. I just said hello to him, you know. The first time I had a table and I was selling a book that I had put together with somebody else. And then I couldn't really leave. And I told the people in charge of the show, I was like, I've already paid for these. And I'm seeing this line. I'm like, I can't do both. Is there any way I can like leave something here or some other way? And they're like, you know, just okay. And they put me at the front of the line. Like, I felt kind of bad because like, you know, I knew a lot of the people were going to be waiting, but I just, you know, he signed my, I think I had two autographs and then that was $100.
They knew you were going to be Marvel Man someday.
Right. Took over the crown. I must shine. Took over the crown.
The crown goes to you. But I wish I could have talked to him, but also the line was wrapped all the way around the building. And then the second year he came, I think it was Peter Laird was there, and his line was way short. And he
sold something again.
$50 more. To get it. So I was like, I don't have $150. Yeah. I thought it would be $100.
Inflation.
Yeah, inflation.
Marvelflation.
But yeah, I do love comics. And I mean, you know, you probably did the same. You go meet somebody, get an autograph, but like it doesn't matter to you necessarily about the autograph. It is the experience.
Well, yeah, you want the experience. Yeah. I mean, the autograph is like a memento of the experience.
Right.
But
right.
It's not, you know, because you could just go on eBay and buy an autograph.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's real, but unless it's certified. But then, you know.
I met Bernie Wrightson.
Right.
And I had a House of Secrets 92. That was the first Swamp Thing and Swamp Thing number one. And such a great guy. And he's talking to me. And he starts signing the Swamp Thing one. And he saw that I wanted him to sign on the inside and he just went to the cover. And he's like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, no.
Buy me a new one.
Well, I mean, he drew right. that. Yeah, he so can do it. I'm like, he'd yeah, sign yeah. it wherever.
Yeah.
But then the next one, he's like, I'll sign this on the inside. And I was like, thank you so much. And then like the next year I saw him it was at an art auction, and he was outside smoking, and I walked up, and I, you know, just having a beer with him, talking, and another guy walks up, and they start talking about comics, and I'm talking about it, and in the middle of it, I'm like, that's Jim Starlin. And he just got through filming his cameo in Endgame.
Oh, cool.
So he's at the very beginning of the movie in the little help circle
thing. Yeah, yeah.
And that was that. That's to me, like, when I look at that signature, I remember that he signed it on the outside, then apologized, which he shouldn't have.
Ruined my comic.
And then he hung out with me. So it's like, yeah, I love that, you know, and I can't, I don't,
yeah.
That's all.
You know. I met Bernie at a, I think it was MegaCon in Orlando in the late 90s, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And he was selling some creation of his that was on a floppy disk.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it the Frankenstein book that he did, or?
I don't think it was that. But I have the floppy disk, and it's like in an envelope, and there's a floppy disk inside, and it's signed, and the comic, I guess, or something's on
it. It was a digital comic.
Yeah.
So I
have that. That's, you know, I don't think
is that
I
like
have a
first digital comic.
A computer that can hold a floppy disk.
Yeah.
But it's signed, so it's cool.
No, nah, he tried that. I think a couple other people did too, but
it's ahead of his time.
Yeah.
He was, and then, you know, but then I don't know. Comics didn't go digital like people thought. They did and they didn't. Like, yeah, you can read comics digital, but if you like it, you're gonna go buy it anyway.
Something about owning it physically.
Yeah. I have the paper copy. It's real.
Grade it in case it.
All right, so that's it for this one. We appreciate you guys listening or watching, and spread the word. Time.
Tell the mailman.
We're good?
Yep.
WWE at the grill.
It was back and to the left.
You have to do two taps. Right. Two taps.
It's a great, one of my favorite movies, JFK. Really? Everybody's in it.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. It's
and there's a classic Seinfeld episode about it.
Oh yeah, that was such a
good episode. It was a spitter, right?
Yeah, the spitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they kept saying it was this baseball player, I forget
who. I forget, yeah. Is that the one that wants to be friends with Jerry and then Eileen or what's her name? Dates? I don't know.
Yeah. He wanted to date
Elaine.
Right.
And
it's kind of using Jerry to get to...
Right, her. And then the retelling was done exactly the way JFK was, and of course...
I don't even know if... I think we're mixing two episodes, but...
What?
Is that the same episode?
Yeah.
Dating one and the JFK?
Yeah, the baseball player was... They said he was the spitter.
Oh, right.
And he was and hanging
Newman.
Around now. Yeah. And and he wanted to date Elaine.
Right.
But I think she was on the fence because, like, did he spit? You know, like, I don't want to date a spitter, you know. And then the retelling was the JFK bit.
Right.
Was, you know,
right.
Of course, Newman was there.
Newman.